Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you so much for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my special guest, Mr. Fred Mitchell, who is the Vice Grand Commander with the Order of the Alhambra. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Thank you for having us here.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, first of all, because I want to know a little bit more about the Order. This is the first time that I know about the Order, and I'm reading up on the history, and it seems quite exciting and interesting. Now, the Order of the Alhambra is a fraternal order of Catholic men, and you all are dedicated to assisting people who are developmentally disabled by mental retardation.
That's correct.
Before, though, we get into all of the intricacies of the order, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a transplanted Corpus Christian. I've been here since 1980, so I've lived here more of my life than anywhere else. My wife and I have a small business here in town, but she also has another job where she works for the Independent School District and capacity in their special ed department. We've been members of St. Philip's Church, and now we're members of St. Pius Church. And we've been associated with the Alhambra probably over 20 years, I would say.
May I ask you what attracted you to the order?
Well, our order has changed over the years. The mission that we have now was not our primary mission when I joined. At the time that I joined, our primary mission was to promote sociability among members. And I had a very good friend in the church that told me about all the wonderful social gatherings that we had. And we still have those social gatherings, but in the last 15 years or so, we've added a more charitable function to our organization. And that's actually was started from the top of the organization all the way down to all of the local chapters. That is a nationwide mission, and that's to help the developmentally disabled.
Before we go into how you actually help them, go ahead and share some of the history of the order.
Well, the order was started in 1949, and it was based on a incident in Spanish history. The Moors, who were an invading force in Spain in the 1400s, were being fought by King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, and they were finally successful in throwing them out of the country so that the Catholic population could resume practicing their religion. And the order took up their symbol, which was the headgear of the losing people, the Moors, as our headgear. So we wear a hat that's known as a fez. You may have seen this hat on other organizations. The Shriners made this hat style popular, and so we have a similar headgear. The symbol that the Moors also had, being Muslim, was a scimitar, and we've also incorporated that because they were the losing part of the battle, and so we show that the Catholics overcame the Moorish invaders at that time, and we vanquished them and were able to continue to have a Catholic country.
Well, I think it's pretty neat, and I also think it's interesting that the winners would wear the losers' headgear.
Yes, that's not a custom that we follow today, but that was the fashion back in those days.
I am curious, though. You say there was a shift from this being perhaps a more social organization to then moving toward charity and assisting those with mental retardation. Was that a vision, a mission that some of the founding members had?
I'm not so sure it was the founding members because, like I said, the organization started in 49 and this didn't change until probably the late 1980s and early 1990s. So the founding members were probably gone at that time. But our original purpose was to mark historical Catholic places and to promote sociability among the Catholic men. They felt like that wasn't sufficient justification for the order, and so we incorporated a new mission, and that was to provide human and financial assistance to the developmentally disabled.
So you provide human and financial assistance. Can you tell me in what ways or give me some examples?
Okay. The human assistance is we have participated in the past in helping the Special Olympics organization. We provide personnel at the Catholic Charities special mass that they have once a month, and we provide ushering and serving manpower and any other time that we're asked upon by the diocese to participate in any special events for the developmentally handicapped, we provide that manpower. Then we've also provided financial assistance to any of the functions that we're asked to for the Catholic Charities.
You spoke of the Special Olympics, and as a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I attended my first, not Special Olympics, but I have a friend who has cerebral palsy, and he's a very wonderful young man, and I went and saw him play softball. Not only did I see him and his handicap, but I did see many other children and their handicaps, and I also saw the people that were serving them, and it was a very touching moment for me, first of all, because I had never experienced that, and secondly, I see humility, I see weakness, but then I see triumph. Because nothing is going to stop these children, and even as they become adults, from succeeding in whatever they want to. And they have the support to do it.
Well, you've been very fortunate to have that experience. I participated in a Special Olympics, and our function at that time was to hand out the awards, which was wonderful because every participant received an award. And it was amazing to see all of these children and in some cases adults participate, and the triumph that they enjoyed in completing their events was just overwhelming.
So the first time that I went to this softball game, I got a little teary-eyed. That was just my natural reaction. But the second time I went and I supported my friend and their family, it was just a very joyful experience. Sometimes I would wonder, well, God, if you can provide a miracle and change this young man and help him heal. But the fact is he's fine the way he is, and there's nothing to change. And that was an acceptance that I had to come to. So what attracts you then to being a part of this order?
Well, I enjoy the camaraderie we have with our members, and I also enjoy participating in our functions. This past year, we had a new function for us, and that was we sponsored a number of children on a tour of the Lexington. And that was just extremely satisfying because they had such a wonderful time traveling throughout the ship, listening to the explanations, looking at the aircraft. It was just very heartwarming to be able to say that you'd participated in that kind of an event. So.
And is there a particular person in mind that has really touched your heart and experience that you've had in the time you've been in the order?
It's really hard for me to say. We've had so many wonderful leaders in our organization, and each one of them has affected me differently. And it would be hard for me to pinpoint one particular individual, but they've all been wonderful men. And we have a corresponding ladies organization. There have been a number of wonderful women that have also had influence in my life.
And what about the children that you minister to? Any special experiences with them?
Well, we see so many different ones and we don't see them on a regular basis. So it's really hard for me to pick out a particular child.
So just the experiences in general mm-hmm. have helped you grow. And what skills or what characteristics have you grown with in being in this order?
Well, I think it makes me more patient, a little more compassionate, certainly a lot more understanding of people with disabilities. And I hate to admit this, but it makes me a lot more comfortable being around people with disabilities because I understand that they're not something to be afraid of, or a lot of people are embarrassed to be around them and are afraid that they might injure them, if, you know, participating with them. And so it's been very enhancing to my life.
And I think that's a good point you made. We'll come right back and pick up where we left off after this quick break.
This is Labors of Love.
When summer arrives, we all want to be fit and trim. So here's a great way to get started. St. Michael the Archangel Parish in Banchetti will host a 5K run-walk on Saturday, April 5th, rain or shine. The race will begin in front of the church, 4316 4th Street, at 8 a.m. Along the course, there'll be mile markers, water stations, and volunteers to assist and guide participants, and prizes will be awarded to the top runners. The Coastal Bend Bloodmobile will be on hand as well. For registration forms and more information, please visit the church office or call 361-815-9880.
Thank you again for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Mr. Fred Mitchell, who is the Vice Grand Commander with the Order of the Alhambra. And it's been very exciting to get to know more about the Order. Like I mentioned, this was the first time that I, as your host, have learned about the Order. And it seems like quite a devoted order. And the people that are involved, I can imagine, have a dedication to those they minister to. And as we mentioned, it's those with mental retardation. Mm-hmm. Now, before the break, we did speak about how you've learned to become more comfortable around people with special disabilities. And it reminded me of an experience I had when I was a Catholic school teacher, and I took some 10th graders to visit with people that had mental retardation. We took them bowling. And I remember making it a progressive thing. So I would take them to an orphanage or I would take them to a nursing home. But I did wait to take them to visit those with special disabilities because it was... They needed just some training, they needed some understanding, they needed to know what it meant to minister to people that had special needs. And it also gave them some time to be comfortable. So needless to say, it was a great experience, I think, for all of us, and we really enjoyed it, and I think the kids did learn a thing or two.
Great.
Let's go ahead then and talk about the social activities that you do with the members. I know that we're always being asked to join this group or that group. What particularly stands out with their social activities?
Well, I'd like to give you an indication of some of the activities that we've done in the past. We have a Valentine's dance every year. It's a dinner dance. We've had golf tournaments. We've had luau dinners. We've had wine and cheese parties. We've gone to the Hooks baseball games in the Harbor Playhouse at different times. And we've had skeet shooting that was primarily a men's outing. But we find time amongst all of our charitable activities to also enjoy the company of each other so that we become a very close-knit organization as well. It's just been a wonderful additional experience to the Catholic life, I think.
Well, that sounds quite intriguing. I even want to join right now.
Well, now, you're more than welcome.
Well, you say there is a corresponding women's group. Are they in the Order of the Alhambra? Are they called something different?
They are called the Order of Sultanas. However, in the past year, the international organization has decided that our order is becoming a little outdated, and so they have actually opened up the order to women to join right along the men. So they have their choice. They can join the regular Order of the Alhambra, or they can join the women's auxiliary order, the Order of the Sultanas. And I might point out that the Sultanas have had a lot of activities. They've had fashion shows. They've had outings where they've taken trips to other towns. They've gone on shopping trips. Another thing that they're very big on, which is not really so much a personal activity, is they provide and participated in a big Easter egg hunt for the children every year, and they're very big in that. They provided thousands of stuffed eggs to hide for the kids. So it's not just all hard work.
So I could very well with my husband join the Order of the Alhambra.
That's quite right. It's open to couples primarily, but we also encourage single people to join as well.
So then let's talk about membership. What are the membership requirements for the order?
The membership requirements are that you be a Catholic in good standing. Not that difficult to join. There's a membership fee, as there is with most organizations, and the initial membership fee includes the purchase of the headgear. That's primarily it. We really are not that difficult to join.
What is the age group? How old do you have to be?
Actually, you only have to be 18.
Okay.
So we're more than willing to accept all age groups. One of our problems that we're experiencing right now is the aging of our organization, and we would really like to encourage any young people that have any desire to learn more about the developmentally handicapped or to just have an organization where they can go and socialize to inquire further with us.
Well, I can imagine that family members who have children or cousins, aunts, uncles mm-hmm. with special needs would want to devote some of their time and be a part of this order, or even just people that want to give of their time to do something good.
That's entirely correct. We'd love to have anyone that has any interest in enjoying themselves and learning to help their fellow man.
And Christ called us to service, so this is just a really great way to serve one another.
That's right.
So, Fred, I'm going to put you on the spot. If there was someone here and they looked like a good candidate to join the order, what would you tell them in a nutshell? How would you convince them to join you?
Well, I think the easiest way, we've been doing this for a number of years, is to tell them what we do, what we've explained a little bit earlier this morning about that we help the developmentally handicapped. We have social activities. And then I would encourage them to participate in one of our social gatherings. We invite guests all the time to come to our social gatherings. We don't charge them to come, and they're greatly encouraged to get additional information or answer any questions they might have. But the only way they can really understand what we do is to participate in one of our activities.
And to experience
the fraternity. Mm-hmm. The fraternity and the camaraderie that we have.
Wonderful. Let me ask you, Vice Commander, what goals do you have for the organization? Now, I know you mentioned you wanted to see it grow.
That's primarily my particular mission, is to encourage mm-hmm. membership. Mm-hmm. I'm also there to provide assistance to the Grand Commander should he require assistance. The last few years, I've also been delegated to organize some of our social activities. I run our golf tournament, and we have a fish fry, I forgot to mention, which is a kind of an annual event where we we've gathered actually at different locations, sometimes at the pavilion out at the Bob Hall Pier and at various members' homes, where we have a lot of fresh fish that we fry, and then we have a silent auction, and I've been in charge of the silent auction, which is a small fundraiser that we have every year.
Well, actually, all of those activities, like I mentioned earlier, sound like a lot of fun. And you raise the funds, and in reading some of your material, you provide assistance for or education. There's scholarships for college students that are wanting to become teachers of the developmentally disabled. So where does some of the funds go?
Okay, the funds for the scholarships are actually come from our national headquarters. All the local chapters send a certain percentage of our dues every year to the national headquarters, and that's where the funds come for the scholarships. They also have a house, but it's in Maryland. It's kind of a group home that they make available to developmentally people that want to live on their own. So,
well, then let's go ahead and and speak about that. People with mental retardation have the capability of living on their own. They just need some additional resources.
That's correct. Some people have severe physical handicaps along with their mental handicaps, and those people generally require sufficient care that they can't live on their own. But a great number of the children are, once they reach adulthood, able to live on their own, function as a happy Christian adult, and they just need a little bit of assistance. And so these homes, actually I think there's two or three now in the Northeast that are available to these people. And so they live there and have a wonderful life.
Fred, if people want to inquire about membership or want to learn more about what you do in the order, where would you send them?
I would encourage them to give myself a call. There's also our Grand Commander, Jim Trammell, is available for questions. If you'd like, I can give you my phone number as well as his. My phone number is 361-992-3227. And if I'm not there, there's an answering machine which you can leave a message. And Jim Trammell's phone number is 361-814-0090. And he'd be happy to, he and I would both be happy to hear from you and be happy to call you back and give you any answers that you might have to encourage you to come check us out and come participate with us and have a little more enjoyment in your life.
If you enjoyed this program, I ask and encourage you to call Fred. Fred, I also thank you for being with us, and I ask that God continue to bless your ministry with the Order of the Alhambra. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
If you are a woman, you can probably identify that one pot or pan, that one cup or spoon that exactly meets your needs when you are cooking. For some, it might be the old iron skillet, the one you inherited from your mother or grandmother, the one they used to cook cornbread in the oven. Or it might be a particular wooden spoon that you use only for stirring a milk or sugar-based recipe. A man might have tools much like women have the cookware mentioned above. There are tools that fit his hands only. It might be a left-handed hammer, the one most people can't use to drive a straight nail, but he can do it every time. For those who carve or whittle, two men can have identical knives, but hold them differently when they carve. And after years of use, even the casual observer can notice how both blades are worn in different ways. And finally, while there are many different types of musical instruments, like instruments often sound very different from one another. For example, a violin and a fiddle are the same instrument, but they're tuned, played, and sound differently. Even though musicians use one basic note to tune their instruments, their hearing and personal styles of playing affect the final sound. These are things we frequently take for granted, and unless we are directly involved in their usage, we seldom give any thought to the peculiarities of each as an individual tool or instrument. Musical instruments, tools, and cookware all have one thing in common. They are made for a certain purpose. The same is true for the human person. We readily recognize that every person appears different, but we seldom give serious consideration to the question why. When He created each one of us, God had a specific, unique thought as to who and what we would be. He created us to be like Him in what we do and how we do it, and to image Him by reflecting His mode of being, even in our own being. He has a longing for each of us to be with Him, to belong to Him in a relationship of love, and He is willing to go to great lengths to make that possible. just like our mothers and grandmothers had to break in their new iron skillets, and men have to try out new tools before using them, God prepares us for the tasks He calls us to. He shapes us by allowing us to experience different events in life. Some of those events are occasions of joy and happiness, while others bring us sorrow and tears. Yet each experience shapes us to fit into God's hands just a little bit better and allows us to become one of His favorite instruments. Unless we are one of those individuals who complain about how heavy our cross is or simply refuse to accept it. The saints are those individuals who learned how to let go of their own ego, their own desire to have things on their terms. They are the people who learned from life's lessons that God wishes to shape us and turn us into His favorite instrument for that one task to which He calls us. It is only then that we become an instrument fit for a king. May you discover God's calling for you and embrace your own instrumentality in the sacred moments He blesses you with. And may you find joy in the journey to becoming fit for a king. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Mr. Fred Mitchell, Vice Grand Commander of the Order of the Alhambra. If you would like more information, please call him at 361-992-3227 or visit their website at orderalhambra.org. Just like it sounds, orderalhambra.org. Thanks again for joining us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.